And for the rest of us here, we'll go try to be brief this morning. And I'm going to give you a God laid on my heart. If you will, turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 21. 2 Samuel chapter 21, and we'll get started. And I'm going to go kind of fast. That means you got a lot. And when you can find those things, I'm not going to own those things. But anyhow, she said she quit smoking for over a month just to make sure I had those shoes. I remember the things that she's done for me in sacrifice. We didn't have a dad around, so she had to be my mother and father. I remember my stepdad there. It wasn't really good in the house, and some of you have been around here long enough. I've been here for a real long time, since I was 15 years old. And some of you guys may know me even then, but I didn't have a godly example at the house. I remember my stepdad pulling a loaded shotgun in my face. I remember him busting the door down. I remember what it was like in that room. I never knew that you could be so scared. I got thrown against a wall by him one time, and I actually legitimately peed myself. I had no idea it was possible. I was scared to pee out of me. And I'm being funny, but at the same time, I didn't know that could happen. And my mom still loved me anyway. I remember her supporting me. I remember her and Miss Ryman one time went out to McDonald's to just talk about the Lord. And that was a big deal for my mom because she had an influence at the house where he didn't want her to do that. He was Native American. And he practiced all the Native American arts and things of this nature, from sweat lodges to peace pipes to powwows to humble HAs. I mean, he was committed. The sad thing is he was more committed than most Christians are.
Yeah.
And that's the life I kind of grew up into. And there's also a struggle constantly at the house. And my mom, she didn't want to really get in the middle of the struggle right there. But for some reason, I just knew that Jesus Christ is the answer to all my problems. Yeah. And there was always a conflict there. My stepdad, now I heard messages from him, and he preached a message there about being a witness one time. He was in a Pentecostal church, and I got to hear the tape of that at the time. And I'm like, what in the world's wrong with you? I remember one time Dave White and us were walking into, at the time where Home Depot is, there was this Dover or Kent County flea market thing. Y'all remember that? Some kind of whatever, that farmer's market. And I remember Brother Dave trying to witness to my wife, my mother, witnessing to her the best way he could, and my stepdad shot it up and moved her on. So I remember those times, and I didn't have a mother in this church. And when you said that, I'll tell you right now, I didn't have nothing but you ladies in here. Some of the ladies are all gone, has taken me in like you wouldn't believe, so I have a lot to be thankful for. For a long time after my mom died, I didn't even go to churches on Sunday mornings for about 5 years because I didn't want to hear about all y'all bragging on your moms, and I didn't have one to brag on. And I used to get mad at you when you would sit up there and act like a fool and mean and disrespectful to your mother, and here I didn't have one. I would give anything to be in your shoes. And I didn't have one. So today, as we begin to pass this mic around, I want you to not take for granted at all what you have and live for God for them. But of course for him as well. And let me say this to you. Maybe your mothers in here aren't in church. Maybe your mothers ain't doing right for God. It ain't your job to go ahead and correct them. That's God's job. It's your job to live for God so they can see something different in you. Amen, amen, amen. Just because your mother allows something doesn't mean you have to do it.
Amen.
And as we begin to read down here, the man found a lamp. And in this lamp right there, you know, I have a corny joke, so here it comes. So you might as well buckle up. Every time I preach, it's the corny joke. There it is. So get ready. I do this to loosen you guys up a little bit so we can preach a little bit. Well, this guy finds a lantern there, a lamp, and he begins to rub it. And sure enough, a genie pops out of it. We believe in that around here. Find a lamp, rub away. Nothing's going to happen. Anyhow, so he picks up this lamp, begins to rub it, and this genie comes out, and it's frustrated. It's upset. He says, you're only getting one wish because I've been granting wishes all week long. I have 100 wishes already given out. So you're only getting one, and that's it. The guy said, okay, I'll take one. He says, I always wanted to go to Hawaii. I want to go to Hawaii. So he went down there. He said, I'm scared to death to fly, so can you build me a bridge from here to Hawaii? And the genie said, that is impossible. Don't you realize that there'll be no supports to go down? There's nothing to support the bridge to. The winds, the waves, the hurricanes will demolish that. I can't do that. Is there anything else? He said, well, there is one thing, my wife. My wife and I have been talking. She goes, I'm insensitive and I don't understand her. So if you would grant me this wish, allow me to understand women. The genie looked at him and said, well, that'd be 2-lane or 4-lane. So here we go. Amen. As we go down, I read of a story about a woman. The joke's over. So here we are. I told you it's corny. So get it all out now because there might not be any other ones. I don't know. So I read of a story about a lady that had her son in the grocery store. And they're walking in and out, and she carried around 3 toddlers. And her statement was, I always thought that motherhood was just a time period that's going to pass. That's going to be important. That's going to set the tone for this message. I'm preaching to the mother today, and it's going to set the tone for this. And she said, I always thought that motherhood was just going to be a time in the past where I have to give up some sleep, where I have to give up some frustration for a little bit of time. And she says, I didn't realize that was a calling on my life. And there is some Bible information to back that up, and we're not going to spend enough time with that right there on how mothers should treat their kids and how mothers should act biblically godly, and that's what we're talking about. And if you guys have any questions about being a biblical mother, I think it's a good thing to ask another woman, not me, but it's a good thing to ask. And I believe you should do that. I believe you should strive to be Christ-like as a woman. Amen. Godly woman. And she says, it's a calling in my life because we're at a supermarket and things change. The smallest detail can really, really change you. And you don't know what it is. You don't know if walking into church today that somebody, not even the preacher, may say something that may get a hold of your heart and you may get right with God. You just might. And God just does that because that's how big he is. And this woman says that it's not just a time period when time where I'm tired for a while. It's a real calling in my life. And she said, I experienced it when I was at the supermarket pushing my three kids, and one of them got away. And he got away there, and he found a big gumball machine. You ever see them big gumball machines? Got the globe up here, and you come down there, and that boy's screaming, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. And he locks onto it. And he's making a scene. And the mom's like, get off of the gumball machine. Now, get over here. And he says, no, y'all may have been there before. That's when you take out that big base. No. You may have been there before. And he's gripping a hold of this thing right here with all of his might at 3 years old. And she finally is able to pry him off there. But in doing so, the glass thing breaks and all the gumballs are now all over the place. And now there's a scene. And if you know anybody, everybody loves scenes. I'm about to preach on that for a minute. How about a scene? Matter of fact, you better conduct yourself as a Christian in the right way so you don't produce a real wicked scene. Yeah. You're Christians. Okay, that was free. Let's get back to the message. So anyhow, the gumballs are all around there, and next thing you know, all these people are gathering around watching this thing, and she's saying, you're never going to watch a cartoon again. You're in so much trouble. She's yelling at him, humiliating him, and he looks up, and he realizes all these people are staring at him. And he grips a hold of his mom with everything in his might. Even though she's humiliated him, she's rebuked him, she's done some negative things that he would thought. At that time, she grabs her because that's the only thing that he knows and trusts. And she goes, I am called to be a mother. And I'm just going to encourage you and set the tone for this little message this morning. There's no little thing that maybe God comes down like he does a preacher, but you're called to be a mother. If you're a mother in here, there's some things that you must do. And we're going to read on down here, and for sake of time, we're going to skip a lot, but I hope you understand it. But sometimes, how important stability is to a child. We forget that. We need to be stable for a child all the time. We don't need to be wavering all the time in our life. And parents, I'm going to encourage you at a young age. Now, of course, I'm the youth pastor, and I know a lot of your situations. And I honestly, before you right now, look at me, parents. I am not going after anybody in this room. Just so you understand that right now, I'm not trying to do a rebuke from the pulpit. I'm going to give you what God has given me today. So I have no any kind of hidden message to give today except for what God gave me. And I know situations, and I will be sensitive to situations, but I still have got to preach the gospel. Amen. So just so you know that. She said, that woman said, the easiest part of being a mother is birthing her child. The hardest part is showing up every single day. And I'm sure it's hard to birth a child. We're not going to get into all that. Thank God I don't ever have to do that. However, I can understand that being a father figure every single day matters. They need to have a stable environment right there. That means is don't be a Christian for 3 days and not a Christian for 2 days and then be a Christian for 1 day and not be a Christian for 3 days. You need to be stable. We're talking about godly Christian parents this morning. Yeah. That's what we are talking about. That's what the context is about. And I just want to say, it's not just something you do. It is a calling, and don't take it lightly. You hear about girls all the time. Girls drive me crazy. I mean, y'all are dumb. They sit there and think if they would get pregnant, that boy would stay with them. Have y'all heard that?
Yeah, come on.
So I'm going to put myself in a situation to get myself pregnant so that he'll never leave me.
Yeah.
You're dumb. Just dumb. So I want you to understand that this morning as we begin to teach here and preach a little bit, I want you to realize it is, and by the way, even though I'm saying mother, I want you fathers to open up your heart to understand this as well, because it's more about parenting a little bit, if you wouldn't mind. And I want you to open your heart up. It's not just about birthing of a child. It's about being there day in and day out. So this is the time that we celebrate our mothers. It's traditionally the time where children give back to their mom and dad, or their mother, not their dad. Well, unless the dad is mommy, because that happens sometimes too. And I thank God for some parents to stand up for that too. I thank God for some of you men that are mom and dad. Amen. I'm not trying to make that feminine in any kind of way. I'm just saying I'm thankful for men that will stand up and take that charge. And anyway, Mother's Day is traditionally when the kids give back to some, something back, for all the days where they licked their thumb and get that little dirt mark off their child's face. All the spit, they're thankful on this day. They're thankful for the spit. Thank God for the spit of my mama. And all the times when they get the gum out of the hair. Y'all been there before? How many parents been there before y'all get gum out of your child's hair? We try all the tricks. We try peanut butter. We try Crisco oil. Crisco oil works for everything, so we try that. We don't sit there and like to have, anyway, but we eventually give them the worst haircut they ever seen in their life. Even girls look around there like they got some problems here and there and there and the other way. And I've seen it before, so this is the time we do that where they made every knee injury better with a kiss. I don't know about you, but I'm just being honest with you. I like to be kind of tough. I get beat up all the time. These boys will tell you on the court, I get beat up all the time. A broken finger, messed up ankle, busted knee, busted lip. It just happens. It's like, here, get him. So I get hit all the time. But when I was a kid, I tried to be tough. I used to ride BMX bikes. And if Samson was here, he'll tell you. And I remember one time I was on my bicycle. I'm just trying to show you my masculinity right now, okay? So I was on my bicycle right there, and I was a dummy. That's what I was. And Samson, we used to ride this bike, and I thought I was going to be a professional BMX racer. I was bad to the bone. And I even had a nickname called Clown Man. I wore a mask when I do a couple of my tricks there. Anyhow, so here we are going down this hill. And I'll pedal and I'll stop and I'll just kind of like drift down the hill. And we had this, we call it a spine. I don't know, how many of y'all in the BMX, anybody? All right, so I'm the only one that's a loser. So I run down there and hit that spine. I get in the air and I do one-hander. And I grab back on it. That was my move right there. I mean, that was bad to the bone. Nowadays, people are doing four flips and raising their hand at one shot. There it was. That was bad to the bone. I mean, and then I'll come down there, and my friend, I wish JT was here for this. And my friend, I told you there might be some jokes, I wasn't sure. And I said that I'll come down there, and had another move. It's called a one-footer. Eric, this is going to blow your mind. Here comes, www.com, the bomb, whatever that was. And I come down there, and I hit the little spine, and here comes. I get in the air. That's it right there. That was bad to the bone. Y'all better back up. That was hardcore. And then I have one more move. It's called the crossover, and it's something to do with basketball. And I come down there. And hit the ramp, and my handlebars like this, and now they go like this, and I bring them back around. I mean, I was awesome. So Chris and Samson and JT said, I want you to hit that ramp as fast as you can. All right, I'll do it. So I was just dumb, just like Josh Rumman, taking, what do they call the thing right there, sprinkles on top of ice cream cones. So anyway, we went ahead down there on the bike, and I pedaled as fast as I could and hit that spine, and I lost into the atmosphere. I was way up there. I mean, I seen birds, 747s, I've seen it all. But there was nothing to come down on because I shot myself, Brother Mike, way out in the middle of nowhere, and bam, I'm on the ground. I'm now falling on the ground. I'm screaming and crying, aching in pain. In the middle of that, I stop and I say, JT, did you get the picture? Because that's all I worried about. I was tough. That's masculinity right there. Make sure you got the picture. So anyhow, he didn't get the picture. And that was the worst part of the whole thing, the best jump I've ever done. I had to be amazing. I probably waved some hands in the air like I didn't care. Feet were probably off that thing. I mean, it was nuts. But he didn't get the picture. Well, I'm just trying to show you I'm tough. But when I was a kid, when I skinned my knees up, I didn't go to my stepdaddy. No chance. I went right to mama. Because something about mom just makes it better with a kiss. So there it is. That's what I did there. And you know what? This is a time of year where you thank her for washing all those sheets in the middle of the night. You know what I'm talking about there. Here it is, 1:30 in the morning. You got to go ahead and do the laundry right there because it's the right time to do it at 1:30. You're trying to just save energy costs. So you went over there and stripped the bed down, woke the boy up, put him in the shower, and next thing you know, you're washing the clothes, putting it back on there. This is the time where you say, thank you, mom, for doing that. This is the time of year when you thank your mom for standing outside with an umbrella, watching you run up and down a field with a football or hit a baseball or hit a soccer ball or with a lacrosse stick. And she had no problem doing it. And matter of fact, not only was it in the rain, not only was it cold, she's cheering for you like you won the World Series, and you missed every play of the game. She didn't mind at all. This is a time where you do that. So I want to say is I appreciate all the mothers in here that are real strong mothers that did something for God. Because when I go down there, I used to go down there a lot, and I'm trying to get back into the Stevenson home, you find a lot of women down there at the Stevenson home where their kids are locked up and incarcerated, and mama's nowhere around. So I just want to say thank you again. And you kids, you got to understand that it's so important to have a mother that loves you. And this is an appreciation day. You know what this day is? For your kid to give back, watch this one. When your kids say, I hate you, and you didn't believe them. That's rough right there. That's rough. I hate you, Mom. I hate you. You didn't believe them. You still loved them up anyway. And if you said that to your mom, this is a good day to start appreciating them a little bit.
Yeah. Amen.
As we go down there for introduction time, we're just going to read down, if you will, and what did I say to go to? I know I said somewhere in Samuel. I think I said 2 Samuel chapter 21. 2 Samuel chapter 21. And this is a wild story here to read. And I'm going to give you a little background on it. Kind of start a little bit with it. And then I'm going to just kind of put it all together for you for sake of time. And it goes on to say, let's pray if you don't mind. Now, Father, I pray you be able to service, Lord. Move me aside. And God, I pray you get in the middle of this, Lord. And although we're having fun and telling some funny stories, God, I know we need to get serious in the heart of the matter. And we need to get your word, God, to cover this place now. I pray that you help us to see something in here that we can use and apply to our own lives. And God, use this time now on this Mother's Day, God, to make some real change in some people's lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And we read down in verse 1, and if I mispronounce some of these names, sorry about your luck, you're just going to have to handle it. Then there was a famine in the days of David 3 years, year after year, and David inquired of the Lord, and he said, Lord, answer. And the Lord answered. And the Lord answered, it is for Saul and for his bloody house because he slew the Gibeonites. And the king called the Gibeonites and said unto them, now the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites, and the children of Israel had sworn unto him. And Saul sought to slay them in a zeal of the children of Israel and Judah. Wherefore David said unto the Gibeonites, what shall I do for you? And wherein shall I make the atonement that you may bless the inheritance of the Lord? And the Gibeonites said unto him, we will have no silver nor gold of Saul, nor of his house, neither of for us shalt thou kill any man in Israel. And he said, what shall I say I'll do for you? I'll do for you. And they answered the king, the man that consumed us and devised against us that we should be destroyed from remaining in any of the coast of Israel. Let 7 men of the sons be delivered unto us, and we will hang them up unto the Lord in Gibeah for Saul, whom the Lord did choose. And the king said, I will give them. And the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because the Lord's oath that was between them, between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul. But the king took 2 sons of Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, whom they bare unto Saul, Armoni and Mephibosheth, and the 5 sons of I'm trying to go fast. And the daughters of the sons Saul, whom thou brought from the Edril of Barzillai and the Mephibosheth. So what I want to go ahead and do right here, I've read it fast. Listen, I'm going fast because I see time, but I want to give you something this morning. The background of this story there was a famine in the land. It was caused because Saul had an oath. Well, there's an oath that Joshua made in the old time there that they're not going to destroy these Gibeonites there. And they made a truce, if you will, for lack of time. There was a truce that was taking place that they weren't going to be destroyed and they're going to be blessed and things of that nature. And when Saul comes on the king, comes on the scene, he just goes ahead and he just kills all the Gibeonites. He doesn't honor the oath right there. He does thing that was wicked. And we know Saul, at the end of his life, he was full of pride. He was full of just sin. He was wicked. We all know that right there. And he did some pretty wicked things, and he destroyed this oath back there in the Old Testament. Now, David, he sits up there, and he says, all right, how can we make this right? I want this famine to stop. I want the blessings of God to flow. What must we do now to stop this drought or this famine or this destruction that's going on to our land? And he said, the Gibeonite said, we want Saul's descendants killed. We want 7 of them. We want 7 of them killed. Now, thank God, first off, that you don't live in Bible times.
Amen.
I mean, really.
Yeah.
Because you're affected by somebody else in such a way. Even though that you affect people in such a way now, back then, if you affected somebody the wrong way, you might be taken out back of the church today and stoned. So thank God you're not living in that day. So you know you can do, although we preach against grace sometimes, you can start thanking God for grace. Now, the reason why we preach against that, because we kind of go overpowered on grace. Grace, 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 mercy. And that's what we want all the time. But there is a judgment. And they go hand in hand and hand in hand. And there's got to be a balance in your life that there is a judgment of God that's upon you for doing sin. We agree on that right there.
Amen.
But we can thank God for the grace in our life. And I just want to say is, you don't need to be asking for grace every single day if you're living for him every single day.
Amen.
We understand that his mercies are new, but there's some time in your life that you got to live off the same grace that you got yesterday and get some of that new grace. Because you're continually doing the same junk that you can't get right with year after year after month, all the stinking time, and you can't get it right with God because you choose not to live for Christ.
Amen.
So we have this woman here, and if we read down there a little bit further, and read down a little bit further in verse 8, and the king took the two sons of Rizpah, the daughter of all those people I messed up a minute ago, and they delivered them into the hand in verse 8 of the Gibeonites, and they hanged them in the hill before the Lord, and they fell all seven together and were put to death in the days of the harvest, the first day in the beginning of the barley harvest. So these men right here, David said, okay, I'll give you leave. You can kill all those men right there, and we're going to make an atonement, and he did get it right. We got it right there, because this land, whether you want to believe it or not, this land cries out for blood. And what do you mean by that right there? Because of our sin, this land is screaming for blood. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. You did this to me, I'm going to do that to you. So Jesus Christ went on the cross and spilled all of his blood on this earth because it cried out for a blood sacrifice. In the Old Testament, you find out for our sins, there was burnt offerings and sacrifices because the land cried out for blood. So always the shedding of blood is so important all the way through your whole entire Bible. And if you get down there in all these battles, you're going to see nothing but blood. You say, I don't want to hear that stuff. I don't want to hear about blood, but it's truth. And what we'll do is we'll put our head in the sand and ignore the truth of God because we think it's offensive. Can I say that?
Yeah, come on. Yeah. Yep.
And what you'll do, you begin to water down your relationship with Jesus Christ, and eventually there'll be no God at all.
Yeah.
So I want to encourage you with that right there. And here this woman has seen all this mess right there that's taking place. Her sons are now dead. And for sake of time, we'll start here. Number one, godly mothers like Rizpah must love their children. I'm cutting out a whole bunch of stuff, but you must love your children. And this is real important because a lot of you parents don't love your kids. By your own actions, you're proving it. No man liveth to himself, no man dieth to himself. I understand what that's talking about, but this is going to be definitely on you that if you love your children, you're going to do some of the things that you do.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
You know what I'm against? I'm against just going ahead and have somebody else watch your kids all the time.
I see it
in churches. Now listen, if you, again, I promise you with a full heart, I am not thinking of anyone here. So if you think that way, come and talk to me. We'll get it straight because consciously I'm trying to do right. But I see it in churches. Here's a baby that we passed around the whole entire church for hours upon hours. Where's mother at? Where's daddy at? Who knows what somebody else got their kid the whole entire time?
Yeah, come on.
I'm going to just say there's something wrong with that.
Yeah.
It's cool that you show the baby, hey, look what I got. Here it is. You know, whatever you want to do. Gaga, goo, goo, and this and that and the other thing. And I understand that. But when they went through 19 people's different hands of the church and you don't know where they're at, there's a problem.
Yeah.
I'm talking about loving your children. And you must love them unconditionally. Now, I want to say something to you about this woman. As she loved her children unconditionally, you know that her sons were killed, and they were killed as enemies. They weren't killed in a positive sense here. They were I don't know what you would call their enemy or a criminal. They were executed as criminals, and yet she still loved them anyway. Now, listen here. Just because that I'm telling you to love your children, you don't got to like what they do. You don't have to like what they do. You don't have to condone what they do. And you know what you can do? And Brother Mark says it all the time. You can say no.
Amen.
You can say, let me see your phone. Let me go through your room. You have that right as a parent to do anything in that. Listen here, I remember just being down there at Billy Gary's, and our teenagers in Christian churches are all about, I'm entitled for certain things. I'm entitled to have my Game Boy Advance 1600, 7000. And if I don't get it, I'm going to protest before a court of law, and I'm going to get my game system.
Yep. Yep.
And you parents, because you don't want to have any ruffles in the family,
yeah,
and you don't want to have no peace in the home, you say, if I give it to them, guess what's going to happen? We're going to have peace in the home.
Yeah.
So now what you're doing is you're letting someone else yet again raise your kids, but now it's a video game that you're letting raise your kids.
Yeah.
I love my kids, I love my kids, I love my kids. When's the last time you spent time with them? Uh-oh, we're talking now, ain't we?
Yeah, come on. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. I love my kids. I want to do things with my kids right there. I got good, godly kids. Why ain't you in church with them?
Yeah.
There's times when we have meetings and this, that, and the other thing that we go to. Where you at?
Yeah.
You know, they say, well, I can send them up there, Brother George, and they'll take them up to some youth event, and I got a night off.
Yeah. Come on.
Now, don't get me wrong there. There should be some time where you get alone there, but there should be a lot of time when you spend time with your kids, because somebody else will train them.
Amen.
And they're not going to train them for the Word of God. They're going to train him the way that the world wants to train them.
Yep.
So I'm trying to encourage you. Number one is she loved her children. She loved them unconditionally this morning. Mother love is unconditionally. And you know what? I see it all the time where... Matter of fact, I'm seeing it even more and more that a parent, instead of just buckling down and showing their love and tough love, they just say, you can go live with your aunt. You can live with your uncle. You can live with your grandmother, because they now don't have to deal with them anymore.
Yeah.
And I see it all the time. And you know what happens is, I don't want to go too graphic about this right here, but I see mothers give their kids away and then live like hell.
Yeah. Amen.
Because now they're free.
Sure.
They're free again. They don't have the old ball and chain. Wait a minute. We should never be calling our kids ball and chains.
Yep.
But I watch it.
Yep.
She loved her children unconditionally, even though they were hung, they were killed as criminals. We don't have to like what they do. Love is practical here. Before we can accept the concept of love, we got to understand where it comes from. The Bible says that God is love. So for it to ever work, you have to have God love. So I say this often. It's so basic. I say that George loves April. And that's a perfect statement. That's true. But in the middle of that right there is love. And the Bible says that God is love. And as long as love, God is in the center of that, it's going to work out.
Amen.
And you got to understand that. You got to understand that love is loving something more than yourself. We pervert the word love.
Yeah.
We pervert it. Boys say I love you to a girl just to get in their pants. Is that okay?
Yeah, you're right.
We pervert this word right here. We say, oh, I love you. And it's not even real. You can't find love at a bar, but you can find love at a church. You can't find love in the magazines and the stuff of this world, but you can find one in the perfect book. And I want to encourage you that love isn't something that we just need to throw around. We don't need to just give our heart to everything. And by the way, most of the time, it's false love. It's not even real. But this woman loved her children unconditionally. Number two, godly mother like Orispah also protected her children. This blew me away as I begin to read this here. Come on down in verse 11 or 10. And Orispah, the daughter of Ai, took sackcloth and spread it upon a rock. And from the beginning of the harvest until the water dropping out of the heaven, and suffered neither birds of the air to rest upon them by day or beasts by the field by night. And it was told David that Orispah, the daughter of Aiah, the concubine of Saul, had done. Now this is crazy. You got to understand that when you love something more than yourself, you are crazy. This woman now goes out to this rock. She sends ashes all around this rock. She smears it all on there, and then she takes the bones of her dead kids and sit them on this rock. What in the world are you talking about? And she sits them up there, and here we are, day and night and day and night. The birds will come. She's fighting off the birds. She's fighting off the birds. And at nighttime, when the heat is gone and the sun is out and she wants rest, she's now is fighting off the animals from the bones of her kids. What in the world is going on here? That sounds crazy. But this mother protected her children. Now, we don't know yet why she done this, but I want to say something to you. It's our job to protect our children by day and protect our children by night, that the wolves of this world and the animals of this world are going to try to destroy your children by eating on their body. It's our job to say, get away! Even when you're tired, get away! Even when you're sick, get away! That's our job as parents. I'm trying to help you now. So what? You make your kid mad. In the long run, in the long run, in the long run, you'll get the reward for it.
Yeah.
I don't want to make my kid mad. I don't want to have no peace in my family. I want to do it my way. And if your way isn't God's way, you're wrong.
Yeah.
She fought it off there. She protected those bones. The rains came out there. She protected those bones. And the nightfall, and the owls, and the creepy things at nighttime, she has protected those bones. Why would she do such a thing? We're going to get into it in a minute. But it's our job to protect our kids, because who else will?
Yeah.
You think the public school is going to protect your kids as they hand out contraceptives today?
Yeah.
Is it okay to say that?
Yes,
where it's okay to go ahead and go any bathroom you want to go to? That's coming to the high schools that your children go to.
Yeah, right.
You say, I'm just going to leave it up to the social workers. I'm going to go ahead and leave it up to the teachers. And thank God if you got a good teacher that loves God. But we're just going to give it up to all of them right there and say, protect my kid?
Yeah.
That's what you're going to do? And you're okay with that? You're a fool.
Yeah.
You're not protecting your kid. You're not protecting that kid. You just let anything come up there and get them. You know what most parents do? They let them on that rock right there. I did enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I did all I could do. I exhausted every option. I did. I put them there. I got them to church.
Yeah.
They're in the church now. Yeah. Now it's the church fault. You don't think that happens?
Sure.
Come and talk to me. I could give you names. Yeah. I wouldn't do that, but I could give you names. Yeah. Well, I got them here. It's your job. No. That's your job, Mom and Dad. I'm trying to encourage you as we go down here. For sake of time, I have so much to say, but it's getting really close. But the children are at risk. Your children are at risk when we don't protect them, when we're not over top of them. You know, I heard this right here. People say, you need to stop being a helicopter mom. Fly all day. Fly around all you want to. Hover around them. By the way, if they're hanging around the wrong crowd, break it up. Am I okay? So am I doing all right?
Yeah.
You know what? Somebody said this right here. Well, they're going to go ahead and spend time with each other anyway. What am I going to do about it? Let me tell you what you're going to do about it. You're going to take their phone. You're going to pick them up from school. You're going to drive them to church. They're going to be with you wherever you are. And you sit there and say, don't get my kids' business. You are a fool. Because guess what? If you ain't protecting them, somebody else is going to destroy them. As we move down here, I'm trying to preach. I'm trying to help you. There's so much I can say. But we need to wake up as parents. You need to realize the way that we get protection for our kids, we need to start praying for discernment how to raise them. Some of us don't know how to raise them. Some of us don't know how to be moms. Some of us don't know how to be dads. We know how to be best friends. We know how to have a good time. We know how to go take them to the movies. We need to go how to take them to the theme park. But how in the world do we raise children? Well, glad you asked, as Brother Joe would say. Right here. It's in the Word of God that we need to discern how to raise our children. The strong marriage is going to go ahead and also help the children to see what love really is all about. If mom and daddy are always fighting all the time, there's not going to be unity in the home, and the child is just going to rebel and lash out even at that. And next thing you know, you need to live together as a good Christian model. And we find that in the Word of God, where you know at your house, we're not going to hear cussing in this house.
Amen.
Turn the junk off.
Yep.
Oh, we don't want that music in here. It's not going to happen. Amen. You say they're just trying to express themselves. Again, let's go back to what I said a little bit ago. You're a fool.
Yep.
You know how they need to express themselves? By following Jesus Christ.
Yep.
As we go down here, I know it's getting time. And I'll go on down here. Last of all, a godly mother like Rispa must sacrifice for their children. Let me just say to you, when she was on top of that rock there, don't think she didn't get tired. Uh-oh. I'm tired of praying for my kid. I'm tired of taking on the church. I'm tired of taking on the youth events. And they walk away. Well, we need to have some people who sit there and say, no way in this world. You're not getting my kids. You're not getting my kids, and you brush it away. And what we find here is that they sacrifice. Let me just say that sometimes when you sacrifice your kids, it's not very pleasant. People then be putting an arrow on your back and run their mouth about you when you're trying to do right. Help me now. Don't you think that she enjoyed the stink and the smell that came off of her kids as they're rotting right there in front of her? You think she enjoyed that? You think that she enjoyed fighting off birds every single night? You think she day? You think she enjoyed fighting off the creepy things at nighttime? Oh no, she sure enough didn't. But she knew that she had to protect them because she had to sacrifice for them. Your dreams and ambitions now should be moved aside for the bringing of your children. Am I okay so far? Help me now. Some of y'all are gone. Come back. I'm trying to help you. I'm not trying to hurt nobody. Listen, I'm honest. Stay with me now. And this woman right here, as a good godly mother like Rispa, says, I don't care what anybody else says. I don't care what they say about me. I'm going to raise up my kid in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I'm going to do it the right way. I'm going to put Bible in their head. I'm going to make them memorize scripture. I'm going to let them listen to youth choir CDs. We ain't going to listen to Run DMC. I don't even know what's out there right now. Whatever. Taylor Swift, we're not going to have that. We're not going to allow them to express themselves. When they have the headphones on their head, get it off.
Amen.
You say music doesn't affect me? Okay, try it. You go live for music for 1 week, and let's see the next time you want to praise God. Really don't do that. As we go down here, I'm going to just finish it out here. She sacrificed for her children. But at the end of the story, here's the end of it. I went 30 minutes there, guys. I'm going to close it out right now. I want you to pay attention. At the end of the story right there is she got the reward for doing right. Because what David did, read the rest of the chapter. David got to see what this woman did and her faith and her protection of these kids. And he said, go ahead and do me a favor, boys. Dig up Jonathan's bones and dig up Saul's bones and put all their bones together and give them a proper burial where they can get honor. And that may not mean nothing to you, but just these kids that were disgraced, dishonored, just disgustingly killed, are just sitting there rotten in the streets. Instead of doing that, now they have a place to be remembered. So much that they're remembered, they're written down in the perfect, pure Word of God. There's a reason for this woman to say, oh no, you're not going to get my kids. Oh, no, you're not going to get my kids. Because she knew down the line that she's going to be rewarded for her faithfulness. And you may not know what that reward is. I could talk about how David, and I could talk about how Ruth and how the line went all together and she's able to hold a grandson. I could tell you all that stuff in the Bible. But let me just say this to you. When you do right and you love your kid and you protect your kid and you selfishly lay down your life for your kid, you'll get the reward when your kid stands up here one day and begins to say, I just want to thank God for a good godly mama that went ahead and prayed for me, that encouraged me, and now I'm a preacher of righteousness for him.
Yeah, amen.
I want to stand up here and sing. I want to sing a song. I'm unashamed because my mama and my daddy decide they don't care if they hurt my feelings. We're going to do it the right way.
Amen.
So today as we close here, I want you to open your eyes, listen real closely. Say, do I line up with a godly woman like Rispa? Or am I just not caring? Am I just letting things go? Am I just letting things go by? Is that you? Because if it is you, you can get that thing right now. And you know what? When God deals with me, I don't care what you think of me. Because you don't mean beans when it comes to my relationship with Jesus Christ. Of course, I love you, but you don't mean beans when it comes to my relationship with Jesus Christ because it's very personal. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I don't know if Esther placed something soft on there. If God spoke to your heart, and I know it's geared towards women, I know it's geared towards parents, but if God got a hold of your heart to that, just get right on up here and come out here and begin to pray. If you kids right now are struggling there, doing right with your parents, why don't you get out of your seat and start praying for mom and daddy as she begins to pray. Play. Anybody like that? Say, I want to be more faithful. I want to protect what God's given me. Would you step out? Here's a couple. It's a real commitment to do something like that. It takes something that's more than just talking.
Amen.
It's about being about it. Say, I'm not going to let the world take what I have. I want to give it to Jesus Christ. As people are coming, how about you? Now this morning, moms, I've been talking a lot to Christian parents, and they're coming, praise the Lord. But my question to you, moms, is there a day, is there a time in your life that you remember accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you remember a time when you asked God to save you? See, the alternative, if you don't ask God to save you, there's a place called hell. And that hell, the Bible says, the fire burns forever. And that's where you're going to go because of your sin. Would you say, hey, Brother George, I'm not sure if I die where I go, but I surely want to know about heaven. Would you raise your hand, anybody like that this morning? See, I'm not sure. One up front. If I get a guy, Michael Shane. One right here. Very sure. Say, I'm not sure I'm saved. Is there anybody else like that? There's one already. Raise their hand. Is there anybody else? Say, I'm not sure I'm saved, but I want to know about it. She begins to play. It's almost finished. Anybody else say, I need some help? People are coming. How about you? Big right now. Some of you don't know it. We're going to pray in a few minutes, but there's some people trying to get some things right. What about you? What about you personally? What are you allowing in your ears? What are you allowing before your eyes? What are you doing? Nobody's looking around. Are you right with them? Listen, you're not going to be satisfied. You're not going to have the joy of the Lord if you consistently are doing the same thing over and over again and nothing good's happening about it. You say, I don't care what you want to say, preacher. When I get in the car, I'm going to turn my country music up and I'm going to blare it as loud as I can. I want to put my head in the sand and not deal with these things. Anybody else want to come to the altar, get some help? Let some people go ahead and finish praying. I love the Word of God. It's got all the issues of life in it. And today, maybe you can just take a small reminder here from Rizpah that she's going to fight, she's going to sacrifice, she's going to love. Now, Father, I thank you, God, for your goodness and mercy. And I thank you, Lord, for this day. And God, I pray we can honor our mothers, Lord, but more importantly, honor you. God, help us to protect what you've given us. God, I pray you bless this day, Lord, and I pray it be an amazing day with our family. But God, help us never neglect our relationship with you. God, I pray you bless your people for the ones that came, and God, the one that's being dealt with right now for salvation. Thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for us. Thank you, Lord, for watching over me and protecting me, and thank you for the ladies that put a hedge of protection around me in prayer. I thank you, Lord, for everything. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Y'all dismissed in the love and the fear of the Lord.